Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give thanks and honor for being on the broadcast today. I thank God for just this opportunity to minister the Word of God. And so this is what we're doing today. We're in chapter Genesis 17. We're going to do 17. And we want to hopefully get through chapter 20. We're supposed to get through chapter 23, but I'm thinking we may just get through chapter 20 or 21. Anyway, that is what we're going to be doing. So we thank God for just this opportunity to give him the glory. We thank God for those who will be logging in, those who will be calling in, and those who will listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you. So we're not, I know we're having some technical difficulties, it looks like, at this time. So it feels like it's trying to reconnect. But keep on going in the name of the Lord, because I'm, you know, we just got to keep on going. So that's how we will go. So let's see if it works better on my phone. Okay. There we go. So we're doing, I don't know what happened over here on this, I'm not sure what was going on over there on my iPad. So anyway, I'll do it from here. Anyway, we're so thankful to being on the broadcast today. Praise God for each and every one of you that will log in, those who are calling, and those who are listening, every one of you. God is amazing. He's been amazing even through all we've been through this week right here in Texas. He is still amazing. I'm not sure why everything is cutting up. I keep cutting off and all this kind of stuff. But let me go over here and see if this is better on this side. So anyway. Okay, so we'll see. I don't know. We have technical difficulties. But anyway, we're going to go on in his name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for being our joy and our strength. We thank you for being our peace, God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us through these tumultuous times, Lord, that we are going through in these seasons, oh God. 2020, even 2021, came in. And, Lord, we've had a challenging time down here in Texas, but God brought us through. We thank God for all of we have prayerfully. We hope that all everybody's electricity has been restored. I know there were some people still without electricity on yesterday, but God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to move mightily with your power, Lord Jesus, and bless it all to be restored. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us through. So many people didn't make it through. I think they said they're reporting that we had 26 deaths, Father. But God, we ask you to touch those families, oh God, and comfort them as only you can. Lord, we ask you to bless all those that have any health conditions as resulting of the cold weather. Lord, we ask you to touch them, Lord, and heal their bodies, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to bless those, Lord, that they lost all power for four days, Lord, and everything, you know, just everything was going on. But God, we thank you. Lord, some suffered pipes breaking and all of those kind of things. But God, I'm so thankful for you being gracious to me, Lord Jesus, that I was able to stay in home in my home, Lord Jesus, and I had electricity the whole time. So I'm just so thankful. God, you were merciful, and I thank you for your mercy and for your kindness, God, because so many people didn't. But, Lord, we thank you for keeping them just the more. Lord, we was praying, oh, God, oh, God, for the safety and the health of your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the people in Texas, period. Lord, we are the protective spirit, Lord, and all over this nation that suffered storms and snowstorms and all like that. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to continue to bless. Some things are not over yet, but, Lord, we know that you're able, God. We know that you're able, Lord Jesus, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even ask or think. Continue to bless those that are struggling with various situations, God. You know what each and every one of them are. Lord, we ask you to bless those, Lord, who have lost loved ones, Lord, with this pandemic and with the COVID, Lord Jesus, just this week, Lord. even a friend of ours passed away or my brother's passed away, God. So we ask you to comfort those that have suffered loss, oh God, in their families and are grieving, Father. We ask you, Lord Jesus, we know you're the God of all comfort and you're the God of all peace. So, Lord, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to grant that to them. Lord, some have lost loved ones because of other situations. And, God, we ask you to touch them as well, Lord. Comfort and keep them as you only you can, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy over our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed your angels to encamp around about us, oh God. We thank you for your divine protection, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I glorify you and I magnify your holy name, for, Lord, you are so worthy to be praised. And I thank you for your mercy and your kindness shown towards me, God. I glorify you and I magnify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So we're talking about today, we are talking about, we're going to start with the 17th chapter of Abraham because that's where we kind of left off. We didn't get the 17th chapter done the last time. And so we're talking about this is where God is going to renew his covenant with Abraham and the covenant of an heir. And so he's talking about Isaac at this time, and so he's talking about him because at this time I think Ishmael was around 13 years old. Isaac was 99, and so Sarah had to be around 89 at this time when this renewal of the covenant came to Abraham. And so I'm going to read that particular verse in chapter 17. It says, and when Abram was 99 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And even when I thought about that, and that's just on the first verse, I thought about, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, as we get older and we stay with the Lord and we've been, you know, in his will a long time, that, you know, we feel that we're there, you know, that we don't have to really, we're just there. But no, he was 99 years old, and God and Abraham had walked before the Lord, and the Bible says that he believed God, and that was counted unto him for righteousness. But here, praise the Lord, Cleon Jackson, praise the Lord. And so we thank God for that. And so what he was reminding him was, he said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So he still was wanting Abraham to be obedient, still wanted Abraham to do what God was requiring for him to do, to still be that person that was righteous and that was wanting to walk before the Lord. So it should renew our commitment even to that, that we should continue. It's an ongoing commitment. It's an ongoing process of our walk with the Lord. Just because we're getting older don't mean that we can just chill. That's not what that means. It's ongoing. We're just keep continuing to strengthen ourselves in his word, continuing to strengthen ourselves in prayer and in those kinds of things. And so that's what he told Abraham. And so then in verse 2, I'm trying to cross my hands. But he said, in verse 2, he said, I will make thy covenant. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying. So even then, Abraham began, he fell on his face in reverence to God because he wanted to hear what God had to say. Sometimes some of us, we need to get back on our face, laying on our face and praying and asking God for some things and allowing God to speak to us. He got on his face and he began to let God speak to him. And God said these things to Abraham. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be, Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Because Abram just meant high father, but God was changing him to become the father of many nations. And then, of course, and so that's what he was doing, and so that was the reason for the name change. And I had some other notes about it, but that was the reason for the name change. Let me find them real quick, because I do want to talk about it, because I read all this, and I want to talk about it. My email, that's where I put it. Anyway, so God had told Abraham, he said, I want you to walk before me and be thou perfect. And so anyway, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And then he also changed the name of Sarah from Sarai to Sarah. And so because now she was becoming a princess, she was becoming something else, she was becoming a princess to the nations that will come forth out of her because of this birth of Isaac, the promised seed that God had promised them. And, of course, we know that because of their age, they had begun to doubt if this thing would even happen. But Abraham held on to the promise. He said, well, God told me it's going to do it, so I'm going to believe what God said. So he renewed it. So, you know, he first gave him the promise over in chapter 15, where he began to talk to Abraham about a seed. And Abraham told him, he said, well, I don't even have no heir. He said, all I got is Eliezer, this the servant in my house. And so he was talking to him about that, and God said, no, I'm going to give you a seed. You have a promised seed. And, of course, in the process of time, as they began to get older, and I think Abraham was around in his 80s then, because he was 86 when Ishmael was born, so he had to be maybe 75 at that time, I'm thinking. He was around 75 at that time when the promise first came. And so, you know, through the process of time, they begin to get weary. And Sarah said, well, maybe this thing ain't going to happen through. Maybe I can give him my handmaid, which was Hagar. And she gave him Hagar. And Abraham went into Hagar, and then, of course, we had Ishmael. And so Ishmael was not the promised seed. He was Abraham's seed, but he was not the promised seed. So because he was Abraham's seed, Ishmael was still blessed, and we'll talk about that a little later. So the names were changed because God was changing their position. God was changing their position. So Abraham went from high father to being the father of many nations. And so, of course, he didn't see the 12, Jacob's birth. He didn't get to see all of them. But the thing about Abraham was he saw it afar off. And so because of that, he had faith to see God, what God was going to do afar off. And because of that, God counted that thing unto him for righteousness. And so Abraham had a place with God. He communed with God. God let him know some things that was going on over the time. It says, it says God gives Abram the covenant of circumcision to be the outward sign of a promise, of his promise. And by changing his name, the Lord not only confirmed that he would fully carry out the promise that he made to Abraham, but he as well made Abraham a typological father of faith for all the saints. So he became like a father of faith to all of us because of his great faith. We can see that God is a covenant keeper. We can see that God is a promise keeper. No matter how old you get, God can still, he will still keep his word concerning you. So the things that God has promised you, you got to take hold of this just like Abraham did. You got to take hold of this and understand that because of what God has promised, you can rest assured that it's going to come to pass. It might seem like it's been 20 years. It might seem like it's been 15 years, 30 years, whatever. But he promised it to you. Hold on to the promises of God. And don't allow the enemy to try to cause you to do like Sarah did and try to help God out. God don't need our help. He don't need our help. He's a promise keeper. He's let us know that time and time again throughout. And we just in Genesis. And he's been letting us know time and time again, I'm a covenant-keeping God. He made a covenant with Abraham that day, and the covenant was for circumcision. And so that what Abraham was supposed to do was he had to get all the males in his house, and he had to circumcise them. And even him at 99, he circumcised them. Now, you know, they circumcise young men, young boys now at 8 days. And so at that time when they're first born, 8 days, they don't remember that happened. But here Abraham was 99 and Ishmael was 13 at the time, and they all got circumcised. He kept his end of the deal. See, God, he gives us promises and he gives us these things, but he wants us to keep our promise. He wants us to keep our end of the covenant. So when he makes a covenant between us and him, we have our part to do. And so when we have our part to do, then we got to keep our part. Abraham kept his part. And because Abraham kept his part, God honored that. And then God brought forth Isaac. But we'll talk about that in a couple of points. We're not at that chapter yet. And so anyway, so let's move on. So anyway, so he said his name would be changed. And so these are all the things that he was promising him. And so I looked at this and I thought about in verse, I've got these in my notes. In verse 17, 1 and 2, he reiterated the covenant. And then in 17, the third verse, he reiterated his commitment. And then in 17 and 5, the conversion from Abram to Abraham began. And so this is what God was doing at this time. And so then, of course, you know, Abraham, God had already promised Abraham the land of Canaan. And he said that your descendants will be on that land. And so, of course, we know that because that's the promised land. And that was the land that God promised those that came out of Egypt. And so God, because God told Abraham all this stuff. He told him, he said, your people are going to be, he said, your descendants are going to be in a place where they are going to become in bondage, are going to become slaves for 400 years. It kind of sounds like our story, doesn't it? Because we were in 400 years of slavery, so it kind of sounds like our story. But what we got to do is come up. It's a lot of, as they're saying now, this is the word people are using. We're going to unpack as much as we can today. That's funny. I think that's funny. That's what I said. But anyway, so Abraham was talking about all of that, and he talked about the circumcision. So let's go back to these first four verses, because these first verses are important. He said, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and for generations an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So he was letting Abraham know all this stuff. And he said, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in his generation. So he began to, praise the Lord, Elsie, he began to circumcise them. And he said, those of your house that are bought with money, those that are strangers, which is not of thy seed, he said all of them were supposed to be circumcised. And that day, Abraham circumcised every male person in his house. He circumcised all, even himself and even his son. He circumcised them all. And he said, this is the change for Sarah. He said, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but thou shalt call her name Sarah. And it will be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be her. So he changed her place. And so that was the reason for the name change. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, He said, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And then this is it right here. And 20 says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. So God heard him when he said, oh, that Ishmael may stand before thee. God heard him. But God said, no, he wasn't the seed. He wasn't the promised seed. He said, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But thy covenant will I establish with Isaac. Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So in the next year, she's going to have this baby. And he left from talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Isn't it amazing to have that kind of communication with God where he comes down and he talks to you and he tells you what's going to go on? We got to get in a place of prayer and in a place of where we are, where we get the opportunity to commune with God like that. I'm asking God for that. I said, Lord, I want to be able to hear your voice so clearly that I hear you talk to me like that, and I'm talking to you and you're talking to me, and I'm doing what you're telling me to do, and I'm keeping my covenant. If you make a covenant with me, I'm keeping my end of the deal. I'm not wanting you just to do what you do, and I do whatever I want to do. I want to do it your way. I want his will to be done. So these are the things that we got to consider when we are thinking, when we are talking about things with God. God is such an amazing God. Even this week, he kept us through danger, seen and unseen, through all kind of uninclement weather. God is amazing. That's all I can say about it. He's so amazing. He is so amazing. And so when I look at my notes, I was looking at this and I said, we have to receive, we have to do our part. And then I was looking at this, it says, both Hagar and Ishmael were victims of an idea to fix what God had promised. Delay does not mean deny. Delay does not mean that you should think God will not do what he is what you are prayed for. God will do his part, but we got to stay focused on him and not on the circumstance. They began to focus on the circumstance because they couldn't believe that it could happen to them at that particular age. They were going on. It was 75 when he originally got the promise. 86 when he had Ishmael, and here he is 99, and Sarah is 90. Sarah is 89 at the time, because she's going to be 90 when Isaac is born. But they said, and we can get this is going to happen to us. It don't matter how old you are, it can still happen for you. You got to believe. If it's something that you want, God, that you know God promised you, keep believing. You may be moving on in age, but God is so amazing that he will keep his promise. He's going to do it. Believe him, no matter what it looks like. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Allow God to do what he's going to do. And so then it says, but when we become part of God's covenant family, the blessings we receive far outweigh what we must give. This is the thing. When God keeps a covenant with us, he gives us way more than we can come up with. He gives us way more than what we do. All Abraham had to do was circumcise them. And the promise was amazing that God promised him. The covenant was way far more than the circumcision that he was doing. That's how God is for us. That is how he is with us. And so it says, well, what circumcised a man could be identified with the sign of as one of God's chosen people. And that's who eventually the Jewish nation was, as God's chosen people. Now, we are heirs according to the promise because of Jesus Christ. It says if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, so then we become a part of Abraham's seed, and we are heirs according to the promise because of Jesus Christ. So we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and because of that, we're heirs to this same promise. So in this promise, this is the thing about this promise. God was going to make him, he was going to make him the father of many nations. He was going to be wealthy. He was going to be blessed. He was going to own this land that wasn't even his. He had all of these things. Well, God is going to do the same for us if we stick to his plan and not try to do our plan. If we stick to what he has promised us and what he has told us and stop trying to do it ourselves. I'm telling you. So the promise was tough to grasp hold of. At their age, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what we got to say. It was counted unto him for righteousness. So when God tells you to do something, get up and do it right then. Don't be talking about, well, Lord, I don't know, and getting fearful and all that stuff. Do what God is asking you to do. If you do your part, God's going to far exceed what you can do. Because one thing about God, he ain't going to be borrowed from nobody. He's not. He is not going to be there. He's not going to owe you nothing. God is just that awesome. And so there's my notes. I think I had a lot more in chapter 17, but we're going to go with that and move forward with time is, because my time is winding up, and I do want to try to get to at least 19 today. And so because of Abraham's great relationship with God, when it comes to chapter 18, and we know what chapter 18 is, entertaining the angels. So this is Sodom and Gomorrah is coming under, they're going to be destroyed. The city is going to be destroyed because such a cry went up from the city, a cry of sin, a cry of disobedience came up to God, and God said, I got to do something about it. God is just, and so he was not going to continue to let this sin go on. Now, if we think about some of the stuff that we have done and how God has blessed us and how God has kept us even through this drama and even through the struggles and even through the things, and he's not allowed sin to take us out. But he has allowed us to accept Jesus as our Savior and know that we are not slaves to sin anymore because of what Christ did on the cross. We ought to be excited about that alone. Because here was a city of people. Now, remember back when the kings were in battle, I think this is in, I want to say chapter 16 maybe, when or chapter 16 or chapter 14. It's between 14, 15, and 16. It has to be chapter 16. But anyway, when Abraham went into battle because they had taken Lot. You know, Lot was once the situation. The king, they had went into battle with Sodom, Gomorrah. It was all these kings that went into battle because of the one king. But anyway, so they went into battle. And remember when Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek, it was the king of Sodom that wanted to give Abraham all these things. And Abraham said, no, I can't take it. He said, because you're not going to say that you made me rich. And that was the king of Sodom at that time. But Abraham would not take what the king of Sodom was trying to give him. He wouldn't take it because he said, no, you're not going to say you made Abraham rich. God is the only one that's made Abraham rich. And then from there, Abraham went on to pay tithes to Melchizedek, and he was blessed. So he was blessed by the high priest. And so here we go again. So here we are in chapter 18. And the angels, there's three angels there. And so they were in the plains of Mamre. And so then here comes Abraham. And Abraham, he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them, and at the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham was good at being at recognizing God, the presence of God, and so he would either build an altar, or he was going to bow himself, or he'd get on his face. He knew the presence of God was amongst them, and so when he knew that, he got in position. I'm not about to stop. Oh, that blessed me right there. Sometimes we got to get in position. When we know the presence of God is in place, we got to get in position to reverence God, not sit up here and be high-minded like you don't have to bow. That ain't what Abraham did. He's showing us by example. When you're in the presence of God, what you should do, what your posture should be. And so he would get down on he bowed himself to them. And so he said, well, let me get you a little water. And then he told him, and he went to Sarah, and he said, make me some cakes. He said, fly, because we're going to feed these men. And then he went to his servants. He said, he picked out a tender, and good. And he told him to dress it and to get it ready so that he could feed these people, because he wanted to make sure, because it was what they did in that day. They were hospitable to visitors. They were hospitable to their guests. And so they gave them water, they fed them, they washed their feet. And that's what he did. He said he went to go get the water to wash their feet and all these things. And because of his kindness toward them, they said, should we keep this thing from Abraham? They knew what they were there for. They were there to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, should we keep this thing from Abraham? And so they began to tell Abraham what was going on. And so Abraham knew that his kin people, he knew Lot was over there. Once again, he got to help Lot. And so he knew Lot was over in Sodom, because remember when they separated, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. So he was now in Sodom. And so he was at the gate because he was an official. And so he was at the gate, but still he was in Sodom. And so Abraham began to ask them. He said, well, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And they said, no. He said, if peradventure be 50 righteous in the city, would you destroy the city? But 50, that 50 righteous are there, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And so he kept going down, He went down to 45 next, and then he went down to 30, and he kept going down. And then he said, would you destroy the city if there was 10 righteous? So he was getting down the lot right here. And they said, no, we will not destroy the city for 10 righteous. If there's 10 righteous, we won't destroy the city. And so they left Abraham at that time, and they went towards Sodom. And of course, they got to the gate. And there was Lot at the gate, and he saw these three men coming. And of course, Lot knew the city. He knew what kind of foolishness was going on. And he stopped him, and he talked to him, and let me see. And of course, before they left Abraham, they promised, they reiterated the promise to Sarah. Because remember, they were out there, and they said, where is Sarah? That's Sarah, thy wife. And I'm going back to this real quick. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. But therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, I shall have pleasure with my Lord, being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I be sure to bear a child which I am old? And if anything, and then this is what the angel said, is there anything too hard for God? getting into, Father. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At that point, at that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, when it says that in the 14th chapter, the 14th verse of chapter 18, is there anything too hard for God? Now, some of us need to put in some things in place that we're thinking of too hard for God. Is this sickness that somebody's going through, is that too hard for God? No, it's not. Nothing is too hard for God to work out. Nothing is too hard for God to solve. Is this financial situation I'm going through, is it too hard for God? No, it's not. Is me not having a job, is that too hard for God? No, it's not. Is me wanting to get this job too hard for God? No, it is not. Nothing is too hard for God. And you got to tell yourself, nothing I'm going through is too hard for God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly and above all we can even ask or think. We got to keep that in the forefront of our mind. Philippians says that he will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I used to get sick of a friend of mine said, her grandmother used to say, God, I don't need you to sell one of them cattle because we need some stuff. I love that. Anyway, so nothing is too hard for God. We got to believe that, and we can't let anything tell us anything different. But Abraham was standing in the place of the intercessor at this time because he was interceding for Lot. He was interceding for him. And so, of course, he said, going back over. So he asked him, he said, peradventure, if there's 10 righteous, will you destroy the city? And they said, no, they will not destroy the city for 10 righteous. And so then the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom, this is in 18 and 20, it says, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Hallelujah. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous? Okay, I'm ahead of myself. Let me go back here. And so anyway, but the Lord said unto them, Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me. So he just kept going down. I'm not going to go back to that. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, I thought about this, and it says God's mercy, God has judgment, God has fairness, God has patience, because he was patient with Abraham during this time. Because he could have said, just be quiet, Abraham. I know what's going on here. You ain't got to do this. I know what's going on. But he didn't do that. He was patient with him, and he allowed Abraham to stand in the seat of the intercessor. And so he was interceding for Lot. It said, and God, the promise keeper, he only found really three. It was four of them that came out, but he only found three. And so they came out, but the sad thing is the situation didn't come out of them. So when he got there, when the angels got there, of course, Lot took them into the house because he knew the wickedness of the city. And as soon as they knew that those men were in the house, here come all the men of Sodom. It says both young and old. And we got to think about this. I know we harp on the fact that the homosexuality was yet in the area, but it was more sin going on there than that, because Lot had the audacity to offer his daughters to the men when they were beating on the door, saying, "Let those men come out so that we may know them." And we know the statement "we may know them" means they want to have sexual intercourse with them. That's what they wanted to have, because every time in the Bible, when the Bible says, "And he knew her," that was what was going on. And so this is what was going on in the city. That's what they wanted to do. And so Lot was hospitable, just like Abraham was, into these men. So he brought them into his house, and he began to cook, and they made, you know, he fed them and gave them water. But the thing about it was is that the men began to do a whole bunch outside. They were at the door trying to break the door down. And Lot went out there and he went out there to talk to his son-in-law, first of all. So here go the down low right here, because they were his son-in-laws, but they was out there with the men wanting to get into the men. And so they had wives. They had his daughters on the inside. And so then Lot said, well, I'll bring my daughters out. Y'all can have them. So he was off. We wonder about that. What man would offer up his daughter? So there was a lot of sexual sin going on in the city. There was just a lot of stuff going on. And so because of that, you know, and so because of that, they were out there pressing toward the door so that the angels reached out there and pulled Lot back in, and then they caused all of them to go blind. And they couldn't even find the door no more. And so what that proved to God, though, at the time was that what he heard, the cry he heard was the cry that was right. It was so much sin in the camp that he had to come down and do something about it, because there was so much sin in the camp, because they were trying to even get to the angels. Now, these were the angels of God, but they didn't know that. But anyway, but they were trying to get to them. And so the thing was that the sin, the cry that God heard was true. And so he didn't lie to Abraham, because Abraham's prayer would be 10 in the city. Would you save the city? But it wasn't even 10 righteous up in the city. So the city was getting ready to be destroyed. And so, where's my time at? Okay, I got this. So both, where am I at? Oh, so Abraham had stood in the place of the intercessor. So we got to remember that we got to keep interceding for our family. Those of you that stand in the gap, you got to keep interceding for your family. Prayer helps us to better understand the mind of God. We got to think about that. And so Abraham intercedes for Lot, his family. His intercession got Lot out of a doomed place, because he was going to destroy it, because it wasn't ten righteous in the city. And so then the next day, I think this is in chapter 19, I might need God's mercy, seeing not following instructions. Now, let's talk about this a minute, because I am in the 19th chapter. And so I'm going over to 19. I'm not going to read it. Hopefully you all have read it for yourself. But the 19th chapter, let me give the highlights of it. Lot invites the angels into his home. The evil men of Sodom, talked about that. Lot instructed to flee from Sodom. And Lot and his wife linger. So they're lingering. And so the angels had to physically take them by the hand and put them out of the city. But anyway, while they were still in the city, let me read this. It said, and the men said unto Lot, thou, because this is important. Okay, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides thy son-in-laws, thy sons, and thy daughters, and whoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this of them, is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake to his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, has your witness still your witness? Are you doing so much that God is, your witness is strong? Because at this time, Lot's witness wasn't strong. He went out there and started talking to his sons. They was like, God. You know, they wasn't paying attention to him. They wasn't paying attention. So his witness was losing its power because he was in a place. See, this is why we got to be careful where we put our place, where we're at, because we can be. This is the thing. A lot of people they get saved and they get it and they say, oh, I'm going back and I'm going to start going into the clubs. I'm gonna start doing this and I'm gonna help people come out. Sometimes you ain't strong enough yet. And here Sodom was in this place, and so they were starting to draw. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna draw them, or they're gonna draw you. And so he was, even though he was sitting out there, some of the ways of the city had kind of got in Lot. So his witness was weakened because of that. And of course, his wife came from there, and so then her witness, she didn't know. And so instead of Lot going back to Abraham and getting sons for his daughters, he got sons out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they was down low. We gonna say what they were. So this is what I'm saying about all of this. It ain't nothing new under the sun. Some of this stuff we think is new news, it ain't new news. It's old news. They've been doing this. This is sins and stuff that they have been doing. So the stuff we're seeing in today is not new news. God destroyed a whole city. A whole city, two cities, because of it, because of the sin. And so, and he's promised that he won't destroy the earth with water anymore. But I tell you what, just like they went, this was fire and brimstone that he put on this city. Same way he's going to come back later on. So we better, so you got to get your lamps trimmed and burning bright so you'll be in the right place with God. Don't be sitting around here letting the culture and all of this stuff get in you. You affect it. With the word of God, with the God that's in you. The Bible tells us greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Is the greater in you? That's what you got to make a decision about. And if it's not, then get the greater in you, because that's what you're going to need to be able to stand in this day and time. You're going to need the greater in you. So I want to talk about this. So let me go here to the next. So in verse 15, it says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And because Abraham had always interceded for him, right? And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, he was being merciful. The mercy of the Lord was being upon Lot and his family because of Abraham's intercession. And so it tells us that later. And merciful unto him. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass, and when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So here go Lot. Lot gonna say, and Lot said unto them, Oh no, oh not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in the saving of my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest evil take me and I die. That's what he said. So he didn't want to go to the mountain. So I said that for a reason, because I'm going to talk about something in a minute. Behold, now this city is near thee, near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. And so he didn't do it. So they didn't overthrow Zoar because of Lot. But haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou come thither, till thou be gone. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city that which was upon the ground. So here goes my situation here. Had Lot done what they asked him to do, because they told him to flee to the mountain, but he was like, no, I won't flee to the mountain because some evil may be coming. Well, evil came upon him anyway. Because I was thinking about this. I said, what if, praise the Lord, what if he would have went to that mountain? Because if they would have been going up the mountain, his wife wouldn't have had time to look back, because she'd have been so busy looking at the next step forward that she probably wouldn't have had time to turn back. I just thought about that. But anyway, had he followed the instructions, because later on, he's going to be in the mountain. Let's go. And so it says, and Lot went out to Zoar and dwelt. So it says, let me go back here to 29. And it came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. So see, Lot was saved because of Abraham, the intercession that he had done, and because of Abraham's faithfulness. And he said, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. So it was because of the overthrow. It was because of Abraham. Some of you all are standing in the gaps for your families. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep interceding. You can't give up. Praise the Lord, George. Praise the Lord, out of Minister Firm. You cannot give up just because the thing you think it ain't happening. Keep on praying for that child. Keep on praying for your brother. Keep on praying for your sister. Keep on praying for your husband. Keep on praying for your wife. Whoever is standing in the seat of the intercessor, you got to keep on praying. You got to keep believing that God is going to do it. Don't give up on your watch. I remember way back in the day, it was Bishop Norman Wagner. He used to be telling us, he said, yeah, I got him praying on the wall. I got him praying for a certain situation. And he used to tell them, they bet not die on your watch. I used to get tickled about that. He said, they bet not die on your watch. You got to stay in the place of the intercessor. Abraham interceded for Lot, and because he interceded for Lot, Lot was delivered. They were delivered. Now, here's why, because of Lot's disobedience to want to do it his way. You know what I'm saying? How, when we want to do it our way, his wife looked back. But I just believe that had they went to that mountain initially, that she'd have been going up that mountain and wouldn't have had time to look back, because she'd have been trying to figure out where's my next, my foot need to go next. I walked up a mountain before. You're going to look down and see where your feet is going. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what I know. Okay. So that was what was going on. But because they were in the seat of the intercessor, the Lord blessed them. So here we are. They get out of the city. The wife looks back. She turns to a pillar of salt. We know the story. But then here we go with this. So see, this is what I'm saying. You know, they used to say, you can get them out the hood, but the hood may not come out of them. You know, they used to say that. But anyway, here we go, because here's an example right here. I'm saying, there's so many examples in the Bible about so many things. And so, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. It's in the Word. Get in the Word of God. We'll find it. So anyway, so here is the 30th verse, and we're still in the 19th chapter. And Lot went up from Zoar, and look where it said he went. He went up from Zoar. So he left Zoar, where he ran to initially, and he dwelt in the mountain. Now, that's where they told him to go in the first place. They told him to go in the mountain. He didn't want to go there. He wanted to go to Zoar. And because of that, I believe that's why he lost his wife, because they were disobedient. And so his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And you just said you feared to go to the mountain. Too much fear in him. Too much fear in him. And the reason why, because we never hear about Lot calling on the Lord. Now, Abraham called on the Lord. The Lord, he was calling on the Lord, but we don't really hear about Lot calling on the Lord. Keep calling on the Lord. It puts you in a place, I'm telling you. And Lot went up from Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So the firstborn said unto the younger, so here go to incest. So here comes some residue from where? Sodom and Gomorrah. Here comes some residue. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. Now, remember when when Isaac got older, and so Abraham, he wanted to get him a wife. He went to his people. Why didn't Lot go to his people? Why didn't he just keep fleeing and going back to his people? Go over to Abraham, because he could have got him some daughters. His daughters could have got some husbands. Right? So anyway, come let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. I still keep talking about that wine. What kind of wine was that? That they didn't even know stuff. And it says, and they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down nor when she rose. Wow. So you know Jacob had some of that same wine too. And Noah had some of that same wine too. And it came to pass that on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go down in and lie with him, that they may preserve seed of our father. So they had, it was good intentions, but it was the wrong idea. You know, good intentions, but the wrong idea. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and perceived not when she lay down, or he didn't perceive when she lay down or when she rose up, and thus were both daughters of Lot with child of their father. And so the firstborn named her son Moab, and the second one, and the younger, named her son Benami, which, okay, one is the father of the Moabites and one is the father of the Ammonites, who were enemies of Israel. But the thing about them is they were enemies of Israel, but Israel couldn't overtake them because they were family. So how many times have we had family that come against us? But we can't, you know. Here's an example here. You know, we have family. People have family that gets them, and they go to do harm to the family. But God wouldn't let them do it. And they had done Israel wrong. But God told them, no, you're going to go another way, because don't bother them. And then they ended up cutting up with them again, and so some other things happened. But anyway, so, you know, we have to remember that, you know, because of this, all this stuff, this is what was going on. So they had these kids, and these kids became enemies of Israel. And I believe some of this stuff happened because we never hear about Lot calling on the name of the Lord. Abraham always interceded for Lot. And so, and these are my notes I wrote down in reference to all of this. It says, though surrounded by wicked people, Lot was able to discern godly. So he was able to discern that those angels were godly men. And Lot married someone who did not know God. His daughters married men on the down low, I can see that, and wanted to stay and not come with their wives married. And so they were married, but they were virgins because they didn't have any children. It is important about who you hang with, who you surround yourself with. You know, we often hear a lot of people talk about what does your circle look like. You know, who you got around you, are these people around you, people that are blessing to you, or people that are pulling you in the wrong direction. So we got to be careful of that. I know when we was young, and our parents used to say, go down there and hang with the fast tail girls down there, because they ain't gonna do them to get you in some trouble. And then, you know, the girls, some of them would get pregnant before, you know, early on and things like that. Or they would tell your sons, don't go down and hang with them boys over there on that corner. They ain't none but trouble. You know, they would tell us that, but of course, we thought we knew more because we thought we knew. And so we wanted to do it anyway. And that was sometimes some of the first alcohol we drank, some of the first weed we smoked, some of the first cigarettes we smoked. All of that stuff came out of those things that they told us, those people that they told us not to hang with, right? Some of those experiences came from that, that disobedience. And so we got to. So those are some of the things. God wants us to be obedient. That's why He gives us these examples. Okay. And so He said, the men outside the door were smoke with blinds. I talked about that. The deliverance came with instruction. So God gives us instruction. We got to follow the instruction. Had Lot went to the mountain, maybe his wife wouldn't have turned around, and maybe he would have thought differently. About maybe I should go to Abraham. Let me get over here to where my people are, and then I can get some husbands for my daughters instead of him having to be where the seed is coming from. You see what I'm saying? So we got to follow instruction. God gives instructions. When God gives you instructions, follow the instructions because He's giving them to you for a reason. He's not giving them to you for you to be disobedient. We have got to get to a place where we want to obey God more than we want things our way. And that's it. Our time is running, going through, and so. And I'm on chapter 19, so I'm gonna get to 20 today. I ain't gonna try to attack it because there was so much here in 19. There was so much, and let me see, because I got so many notes about it. But anyway. Let me read this. Because now two daughters stooped to incest, showing their acceptance of morals of Sodom. So that's what they were. They had that is some Sodom mentality in there. We are most likely to sin when we are desperate for what we feel we must have. So they were desperate for speed. And so I remember years ago, and Pastor Robinson, one of the pastors in my church, associate pastor of the church, he preached a message, told us don't be desperate. And I never forgot that message. Because when you get into a desperate place, other things can happen. You begin to you let down your values, you let down your morals, and you don't want to do that. So you want to not be desperate. Even when it comes to relationships, you don't want to be desperate. Because when people perceive desperate, they feel like they can. And so you want to make sure that you say that you trust God with every situation. I was going to talk about that today because I was thinking about. Abimelech, but that's in chapter 21, so I don't want to touch it if I'm not going to get to it. Anyway, what I do know is if you don't know the Lord, anybody have anything on the line y'all want to say? Okay. So if you don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to accept Christ as your Savior. The Bible tells us that, we have to, and so it tells us, I don't know why. I can't remember the scripture, but I know it. Anyway, but let me read it because I love to read it. Oh, it's just in. I should have had it ready. Every week I do it in Romans. Y'all know the scripture. Romans 9. 10 and 9. Okay, here we go. God, thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so we believe that today, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you pray this prayer with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. I am a sinner. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me, Lord, and deliver me from my sin. Lord, I surrender all to you today so that you can deliver me, Father. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I believe that God has raised you from the dead, and because of that confession, I believe that I shall be saved. And so, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my life today so that I can become one of your servants and one of your children, that I can be heirs and joint heirs to see God. And not just because I want that, because I want to be saved. So, Lord, save me today, and then, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer in some form of it, that God has saved you and that you are accepted in his family, accepted in the beloved. We believe that God has delivered you this day. And, of course, we believe salvation is progressive. So as you continue to walk with God, find you a good Bible, believe in teaching church. And that's not hard to do. They online now. You ain't even got to go to the building if you don't want to. Believe in church. That will help you to continue on this journey. And thou shalt be saved. And so thou shalt be strengthened in the word of God. Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we thank God for you accepting him. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. And so we're so thankful for that. And so we'll be back here on next week on the Bronx and Souls broadcast. We're going to do chapter 20, 21, 22, and 23 next week since we didn't get through all those today. But that's where we'll start. We'll start with chapter 20 and go through 23. Do those four. I think I'm going to just do them in 17, 18, 19. But there, I thought I would get through 20, 21 even. But I didn't. So anyway, we will continue on our journey through the Word of God. And if it takes us all year just to get through the Pentateuch, it's just going to take us all year to get through it. So anyway, I'm okay with it. But I'm enjoying my journey of studying it and reading through it because it's such a blessing just to be able to do that. So this is what the Lord told me to do, so I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, but one thing about it is I ain't going to get on here unless the Lord tell me to get on here, because last week I was going to get on here. And but I just didn't feel as comfortable like I had what the Lord told me. And so, but I got a plan, and I got a plan. So anyway, so the Lord is helping me to develop a study plan and then outline plans. So that's what I got to do. So that was my thing, because I can get a whole lot of information, and I need to be able to bring that down. So I'm glad I didn't get through all of today, because that's a lot of information. But anyway, I hope something I said was a blessing to you today. And see what we got going on. We always got stuff going on. We have projects. And so we got 180 Impact. That's our project. We were supposed to have something yesterday, but because of the situations that went on here in Texas, we decided to hold that until March the 20th. And so she will be coming on. Then we got a lot of good speakers coming on for 180 Impact. So you might want to look at that when I post those flyers so that you can be a part of that and listen in, bring your children in, because it is about our kids and it's about, you know, encouraging them during this season. And so anyway, let me pray before I go out. Father, in the name of Jesus, before the broadcast goes, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you. We pray that it fell on good ground, Father, and that, Lord, the word will be a blessing to those that hear, that they're not on also, that they'll have faith and work with it, and they will that they will be blessed. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that bless us to be obedient, O God, and, Lord, bless us to obey you in the things that you have given us to do. Bless us to be good instruction followers, Lord, that we will follow the instructions that you have given us. Lord, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to bless us to stand in the seat of the intercessor and keep interceding for our families, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to strengthen each and every one under the sound of my voice. Bless them, Lord. Give them, you know what they stand in need of. You know every prayer request, Father. We ask you to meet every prayer request, every need, Father, in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over the people's lives, Father. Bless them to have a blessed week. Bless them to have strength. Bless them to have joy. Bless them to have peace, and comfort them only as you can. Touch bodies. Heal bodies, Lord. We send in your word of healing. Health, and you would restore, because you would restore our health, Father. So, Lord, we send your word that says, by your stripes, you're healed, Lord. Those in the hospitals, comfort those in need, comfort, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and bless somebody that needs a financial miracle, Lord. We believe that miracles are still happening, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So let a miracle happen for them today. Bless all the pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists that poured out this morning to their congregations, Father. bless them, oh God, and pour back into them in the name of Jesus. Cover them. Bless my pastor, Bishop Jason, First Lady Sarita Jason, and all our pastors at the Potter's House, all our associate ministers and pastors and their families. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless them. Bless all of those that are under the sound of my voice, Lord. Just continue to bless them, Father. Bless, Lord Jesus, this ministry, that it will do, that we will be do what you have told us to do. Bless all of those that still do not have power. Bless Elder Timberlake, Lord, especially, Lord, she still didn't have power as of yesterday, but, Lord, we ask you to bless her, that her power will be restored, and she will be able to go back into her home, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you, we magnify you. Bless this week will be full of joy and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So anyway, so I got a couple announcements. So we're talking about 180 Impact, and so that's some of the stuff that's going on. And then we have, of course, I'm going to start doing my Jesus is the Chain Breaker series, because I'm talking about my book, and so I'm going to be doing that on Friday evenings. I'll start doing that on this week. And so we're going to start talking about that, because the Lord gave it to me, and so I got to talk about it, even though I might not want to. But anyway, I got to start talking about it, because at the end of the day, we, as we read today in the 19th chapter and 18th and 19th chapter about all the sexual sins, there's a lot of things God gave me in this book. And so the one thing that the Lord told me, that is, he told me, I asked God, I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to say when people ask me about it? And he gave me this phrase that said, from the pain of silence to the healing of broken chains. And so that is what we will hope that the book will endeavor to do, is that it will be a blessing to those that read it, and that some chains will be broken from the soul ties that have been made because of the sex, because of the lies and things like that. It's not nasty, that kind of situation. But it's talking about, it's a lot of things in it. And so I was on Clubhouse a week ago, and I was in a room, and they were talking, and they began to talk about some different things. I can't remember exactly how all of this began to come out. But then everybody started talking about the molestation that they had suffered, the rape, and all these different things that they had suffered. And God let me know that there was a need for what he had given me to write. And so I said, because people got to be set free, people got to be delivered, because some of this is some of the things that have holding people back. Some of these issues are the things that cause people to be in various addictive behaviors and certain things like that. And so we want people to be free. And so we got to talk about it. And the church doesn't always talk about this stuff. It's not. And because some of it happened in the church, let's be honest. And so we got to remember that. And so, but God is God, and he is so faithful. God wants us to be delivered and set free, and he wants us to heal. So we're going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Hopefully God will strengthen me in that area, and I will talk about it. So, but that is what the book is about. It is from the silence, from the pain of silence to the healing of broken chains. And so we're going to start talking about that. And then, you know, I'm always got projects. But anyway, and then I got Blinky introduces the banknote coming out. And so that's in the making. The young lady is doing the illustration for it. So it's in the illustration mode. I think I got to write the back page or something like that, but still got that to do. But anyway, so all these things are coming up. But the book is finally on Amazon. I got it uploaded. Everything is done. I tell you, it was giving me a fit, and it was this, and then it kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I even missed my pre-order date. And so anyway, it is what it is. I'm not going to be worried about that, because we can still do that. But I got it to the place where it can be done. I sent it back and forth to get it uploaded, because I would see something. I saw an error, so I stopped all progress and went back and went through it and got all that stuff corrected, and hopefully. And then I kept seeing, I was like, oh, my God, what is that? So I kept stopping something I kept doing. I said, it's a process to get them books published. It's a process, I'm telling you. And so you need help getting it done. I'm telling you, you need good editors. You need all that kind of stuff, because, you know, I'm a math person, so I'm a mathy person. So English may not be, writing it. I mean, I'm creative. That's why I'm creative, but I may not be the best grammatically person. But anyway, that is here nor there. That's what they got editors for. And so some